guest on the CV Report is going to take us back in time, back to the year 1944. And before we meet the author, I want to share with you a little bit from the synopsis here that I read that really inspired me to want to talk more about this incredible book. It's an Amazon number one bestseller and a recipient of more than 25 national book awards. But Shot Down, the true story of pilot Howard Snyder and the crew of the B-17 Susan Ruth, really compelling. Set within the framework of World War II in Europe, it recounts the dramatic experience of each member of a 10-man B-17 bomber crew after their plane that was piloted by the author's father was knocked out of the sky by German fighters over the French-Belgian border on February 8th, 1944. Some men died, some were captured, and some became prisoners of war. Some men even evaded capture and were missing in action for months before making it back to England. Their individual stories and those of the courageous Belgian people who risked their lives to help them are all different and every single one remarkable. And here to share with us some of these stories and some insight into this incredible book is the author Steve Snyder. Welcome to the CV Report.
Well, thanks a lot. I'm glad to be here.
Man, I think I just got the tip of the iceberg about this book, but tell me a little bit about growing up with a dad like this. Did he share stories of his time in the service throughout your youth?
Well, I knew the basics while I was growing up. I knew he was a B-17 pilot. He was stationed in England with the 8th Air Force. His plane was named the Susan Ruth after my oldest sister, who was 1 year old at the time that he went overseas. And he flew bombing missions over Europe. And on February 8th, 1944, his plane was shot down, and he was missing in action for 7 months. But he evaded capture and made it back to England and then back home. But it wasn't until I retired till I really had the time to delve into my dad's war history and in more detail. And like most World War II vets, he didn't talk a lot about the war until 1989. That year, a memorial was erected in the little village of Mackenwas, Belgium, just north of the French border. And my father and the three other living crew members at the time went over for the dedication. And there he was reunited with all these Belgian people that hid him from the Germans during the war. And he saw those, revisited those homes where he was hidden in. And that brought it all back. And he started talking about it after that.
Were some of the same families still living in those homes, 40, 50, 60 years later?
No, most of the people had relocated from the homes they were living in. The homes were still there, but other people were living in them. And I've been in a number of those homes, farmhouses where my dad was hidden, been in rooms where he was hidden, and just talking about it gives me chills to actually be, in a spot my dad was in, over 70 years ago during World War II.
Wow, what an amazing story to pass down to your family, too, because I would imagine it's something that was never forgotten. I mean, what with your mom, his plane was named after his daughter. That had to be a crazy thing for both father, but for your family back home to live through, because as you'd said, for 7 months, they thought he was gone.
Yeah, and actually my other sister was born when my dad was missing in action. So here my mother was back in California with a one-year-old daughter, infant baby daughter, not knowing if she'd ever see her husband again.
I can only imagine wedding anniversaries were just epic events in your house. I mean, to be able to celebrate the fact that they, survived and made it together. Just a great story. The book is full of other great stories. Share with me, just a little anecdote or a little clip of something that you can share from the book.
Oh, gosh, there's so much in it. It's just not about my dad, but it's about what happened to each member of the crew, because something different happened to each guy. A B-17 had a 10-man crew. Five of the crew made it back home, but five of them did not. And so fortunately for me, my dad was one of the five. As I said, after he came down, he was missing in action for 7 months, but evaded capture. He was hidden by Belgian people for some of that time, and then he got tired of hiding, so he joined the French resistance and started sabotaging German convoys, which is pretty unbelievable.
Now, why didn't he just keep trying to make his way home? I mean, throughout that process of hiding, I can understand when you first are, down and you need to kind of get your bearings, you walk to maybe the closest town, and then you kind of get, hidden. As he found his way, as he was, clothed and fed by the locals, how come he didn't just try to jump into, a truck or, some kind of commercial vehicle?
Well, Belgium was occupied by the Nazis at that time. So it wasn't that easy. The Gestapo was always on the lookout for for downed airmen. Normally, when the underground came across downed airmen, they tried to get them back through to England through various escape routes, down into France, over the Pyrenees, into Spain, and then out through British-controlled Gibraltar. But something always went wrong trying to get my dad out. Either the networks were compromised, you know, infiltrated, or people were, partisans were killed, and so they could never get him out. And I think that's why, one of the reasons why I got tired of hiding and decided to get back in the fight and join the French resistance and then fight against the Germans. Those people that hit my dad and other downed airmen were unbelievably brave because they risked their lives and the lives of their family and friends by aiding downed airmen. If the Gestapo found out about it, they'd be arrested, tortured, and either shot or sent to concentration camps. And some of the Belgian people who helped my dad and his crew did meet that fate.
Wow, sacrificed their very lives just to keep them alive.
Yep.
That's amazing.
One of the unique things, though, during my research and in writing the book is that I actually found the German Luftwaffe pilot that shot down my dad's plane. His name is Hans Berger. And fortunately for me, he became a translator after the war and speaks English. And he gave me some wonderful insight that's in the book about what it was like to go up against the 8th Air Force. Actually, the gunners on my dad's plane shot Hans down at the same time. They actually shot each other down. He bailed out and made it through the war, and we become friends. In a couple months, I'm going over for the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Belgium and my dad's plane being shot down in Belgium. And after that, I'm going to head over to Munich, Germany, where Hans lives. He's 95 years old now, and it'll probably be the last time or last opportunity I ever have to see him. So that was really amazing.
How is it that you were able to become friends with him? I mean, you know, if I were shot down by somebody or somebody had shot down a member of my family or been at odds on the opposite sides of a war, it would be personal. There would be it would be hard to bridge that and come together as a empathetic human being towards a man that was once considered the enemy. What was that experience like for you?
Well, remember, they shot him down, too. So they shot each other down. But a couple things. You know, one, Hans or those German pilots were pretty much just like the American airmen. You know, they were young guys. Hans was 20 years old. They were fighting for their country, trying to do a job and trying to stay alive. Hans said it was unfortunate that they had to be shooting at each other, but, you know, that was their job. But I felt a personal connection to Hans because World War II was the defining moment of my father's life, or probably any guy that fought during the war. And at one moment in history and time, Hans Berger's path crossed paths with my father. And, you know, it changed his life. And so that Hans was part of my dad's life, part of my dad's story. So I really felt a personal connection with him.
That's just it brings chills knowing that, like, yeah, so many generations ago and so many years have passed, yet you can find that emotional connection and become friends. And I just find it so amazing because in the context of the forever war that we're currently engaged in, it would be hard for me to see a member of, Islamic jihadist group, whether it's the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or whether it's ISIS, it would be hard for me to visualize two generations from now us having dialogue with those warfighters and with those terrorists and finding some sort of kinship.
Well, that's probably true. That was World War II was a much different war than, the conflicts and the war on terror that we're involved in now. It was, I wouldn't want to say it was more honorable. That's probably not the right word. But, back then you knew who you were fighting. You know, there were armies defending their countries. You know, it wasn't this terrorism like it is today. I think you're right. It would be pretty hard. Yeah. It'd be pretty hard to be friendly with them.
Mm. And you say that these conversations with Hans, all documented and all part of the book Shot Down.
Correct. For the book, I actually interviewed him over the telephone and through email. But in 2016, I went to Munich and met with him personally. We had lunch. We had some Wiener Schnitzel and an Augustiner beer and went back to his apartment and filmed an interview with him. I hope to make a documentary about the book. And when we were there, he said it was pretty amazing that here he was, you know, having lunch and meeting with the son of a pilot that he shot down. And he brought out his logbook that he had written in his entry on February 8th of 1944, where he wrote that he shot down a B-17 and, you know, his plane was shot up and he had to bail out. So that was pretty neat. Pretty neat stuff.
Mm, amazing stuff, Steve. I'll just use the word over and over again, but this is really, this has to be a compilation of just amazing stories. Where can I find this? Basically everywhere I find books?
Yeah, you know, most people buy books on Amazon. Over 50% of all the books purchased are bought on Amazon. Any bookstore can order it if they don't have it in stock. If anyone wants an autographed copy of my book, they can go to my website, my homepage of my website, which is Steve Snyder, Snyder, author.com, and they can buy an autograph or order an autographed book.
Right on. Well, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be adding this to their summer beach reading list. The incredible story of your father, shot down. The true story of pilot Howard Snyder and the crew of the B-17, Susan Ruth. Thank you so much for sharing it with us, Steve.
Well, it's my pleasure. You know, World War II was happened a long time ago. It's fading in people's memory, and we can't let that happen. My little tagline is that it is our duty to remember, and that's really my passion is to keep this memory alive, and why I do what I do and going to air shows promoting the book and book signings and making PowerPoint presentations around the country. Those guys, in my opinion, were the greatest generation.